Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and love from the Lord Jesus. Amen. The text is from Ephesians 3, verses 2, 8, and 9. Listen to this. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, that is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. And then, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages was kept hidden in God who created all things. This is the text, my dear brother and sister. The text could not have been picked any better for Epiphany. So the man that hundreds of years ago chose this text to be the epistle for Epiphany were right on. It is all about making known God's name. And just as you and I cannot remain totally indifferent at the birth of Christ, the incarnation of God, it is also totally impossible to ignore the gospel that we are one family in God, that all of us are forgiven and loved, loved to death and loved into eternity by God. Paul speaks of our function as Christians as dispensers and administrators of the mysteries of God. The mystery is revealed to you and me when the Holy Spirit comes on us at baptism. And as it unfolds week after week as we are exposed to the Word of God in His house. So Epiphany is showing around. You know the word epigraphy, which is a description about, around, a general description of a subject. Epicenter, as in a earthquake, they measure the epicenter. Epi meaning around. Phino, to show. So God shows himself around, no longer just to the few shepherds there in Bethlehem, or to the people to whom they spoke in Ramah and Bethlehem in Jerusalem. No, now he goes to probably Iraq, way in the east. And there were three wise men. The Bible doesn't say they were three, but the parallel history gives us even their names. Melchior, Balthazar, Zephyr. So these three come bearing gifts to Christ. Through the star in Bethlehem that was lit when Jesus was born, those three wise men. Sometimes they are called kings. They were men of means to offer myrrh and gold and frankincense and to have a camel to ride. The rule in the rest of the world was to walk on foot from one place to the next. If you had a camel, you were in the Cadillac division of people. So even until the 1800s, 1900s Europe, you had to walk to many places. People couldn't afford horses. So Paul calls himself an administrator. Administrator of God's grace. An administrator works for the owner of whatever he is administrating. The word in Greek is very teaching. It is a teaching moment. It is easy to understand this. The word economy he uses. Oiko, echo, house, nomos, the law of the house, the rules of the house. How does the house work? Well, the house works like this. Father and mother are the stewards, the administrators of the house. And if a child is cold, they give a blanket. If a child have a cough, They make a syrup over the stove and give it to the child to drink. The law of the house is that from the house we all receive what we need. That is the administration of God's gifts. He owns it all. The economy of God's household, the law of the household of God, is that it has two pantries, one spiritual goods and one physical supplies. And don't you think that God is only interested in helping you with physical matters when you are down, or when you have sinned and need forgiveness, or when you need a little bit more love and compassion for the neighbor? Those spiritual gifts are there and they are real, but so are also the physical gifts. I have seen these put into use so often. One day I found myself in downtown Chicago with trucks at 60, 70 miles an hour this far from my back bumper, and I turned the blinker on and it didn't blink. And I said, "Lord, you can't do anything. If I don't have a blinker, I'll get smashed to pieces." I tried it again and it blinked. Coincidence? Yeah, you can call it coincidence. I won't. I know that that was a divine interference, because I was growing afflicted by the minute. So often, when we go to God for help, we do not truly trust. But it was only 3 months ago that I misplaced an important document from a bank. A member left us $11,000 for the endowment fund. As the pastor, for some reason, my name was there. I had to sign it and take it to the bank. Actually, I had to sign it there by the notary public. And both of them were missing on the day I went. It was a Friday. I put it away. Monday morning, "Are the notary publics in?" "Yep, I'll be there in a minute." Ha! 1 hour later, I was looking for that darn document and I couldn't find it. My wife said, "You always do this. You don't think about what you're doing." And you know how that makes you feel inside. It was true. I don't. And I looked in my office. I looked in the kitchen at home, in my study at home. Then I just dropped my head. I said, "Lord, you know where this is. I wasted an hour and a half of my time. Could you just show me?" And for some reason, I walked straight into our living room. I had a new biography of Martin Luther that I had been reading over the weekend. Guess what I used as a bookmark? That document. It was about 30 seconds from the time of my prayer until I found it. Coincidence? I don't think so. God has two pantries in heaven, one for physical goods and one for spiritual things. And I heavily rely on both of them to supply me physically and spiritually. Ministers are smaller than those that they serve. Ministers derives from an old French word, mini, meaning small. Mini vacation. Just 2 days. Mini means small. A minister is somebody that specializes in being small. You and I specialize in being small in relation to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. His are the goods, and you and I administer the goods. So you could think of yourself as a dispenser of the gifts of Christ. You need compassion? It's in the bag. You need reassurance? It's in the bag. You need family? It's in the bag. God's family. Whatever you need, God supplies. You need consolation at the death of a loved one, it's in the bag. Just ask and believe that He will do it. Don't doubt for a minute. He is God. On the other hand, He is not your gopher. He is not a cosmic slave whom you just go to when you are in a pickle and forget about him when life is just good. Faith is something that is active 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Faith is a relationship with your Father in heaven. So you can talk to him all the time, not only in church, but when you are on your knees and pray. You can talk to him throughout the whole day because he wants to be part of your life. So in specializing in being smaller than him, who sends us into the world, we are to count ourselves as privileged people on the planet Earth. People that are ambassadors of the light that comes from above, our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are to count ourselves as priests, the go-betweens between the people and God. Now, all believers are priests. Priests are born, a professor of mine said, but you pastors are made. Yes, we are made when we turn in pound after pound of works and papers written at the seminary for those 5 years, when we read countless stacks of books and we summarize each one of them. Priests are born through baptism. Pastors are made when they study and they get a formation and an education. But the task of the priests and the pastors is the same. I am full-time, I give you that, but that's where the relation, where the differences end. We all make God and Christ known to the Gentiles. That's the mystery. Both have the same function, priests and pastors. We are both God's economists. We apply the laws of God's household, the oikonomos, or stewardship as we translate it fancily. We apply these laws to the people of the world. He also calls himself a dispenser of God's mysteries and of God's grace. A dispenser distributes intelligently, not clumsily. You have a soap dispenser. You go like this, just a little dab will do you. It does not put out 12 ounces of soap every time I press it. That would be too much. It does just not put out a tiny little, you know, trace of soap. It just gives me the right amount. That's a dispenser. A dispenser of God's mysteries does it intelligently and class. You don't go up to somebody and say, Bob, do you have a church? No. Well, you ought to have one. That's not a dispenser. A dispenser says, Bob, this Sunday we're going to have a special breakfast at our church. And we were all told to bring somebody. Would you like to be my guest? That's a dispenser. Bob, what about breakfast at the restaurant Saturday morning? Go, talk to him, and share your faith, but with class, with velvet gloves, with sweet words, or good words, which is what theology is, God's word. We have God's goods to give away to all terrestrials. Terrestrials are all those that live on Earth, 7.5 billion right now. 2.5 billion terrestrials claim to know Christ or be Christians, but we still have 5 billion to go, so we have a ways to go. You and I are given the privilege to proclaim Christ to all the nations of the Earth. We do so better when we see ourselves as dispensers and administrators of someone that is greater than us and whose goods are so good and so great that we cannot even understand them. When we distribute the gospel, the people come to life. God promised that his word would never ever come back to him empty. It will accomplish that for which it was sent to us. And as we celebrate Epiphany and make Christ known here and throughout the world, let us pledge anew a cooperation with God and all his people as we go into all the world proclaiming that Christ is Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God, which is greater than all human understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Depart in